1 Corinthians, chapter 12. As you're turning there, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, I want to remind you something we give out. They're free here at the church. Every quarter, we hand out a devotional, a couple devotionals. That one is called Days of Praise. And, of course, it just started off with September, and it's October and November. And this is a great devotional book. I've really enjoyed it. I go through it as part of my devotions. And there's also our daily bread is available. We make those available. I think they're on both entrances downstairs on the table. Please take one. And even if you don't use it every day, just keep one in the office or in the car. And if you're just looking for a word of encouragement, many times you just open it up to that day and God's got a word for you. And just to lift your spirits and to encourage you along your Christian journey. And so those are available, and I hope you'll take one. And even if you have somebody in mind, a neighbor, a coworker, just give them one and say, hey, just want to give this to you. You never know how the Lord may use it in their life. And so always looking for a way to reach out, and that's a good way to do it. Amen. Everybody happy this morning? Amen. Are you happy to be here? Amen. I hope so. If you are, I just want you to look to the person that's beside you and tell them, I'm happy that you're here today. Would you do that? Amen. And let's go a step further. I want you to look to the person beside you and say, you sure look nice today. Okay. Amen. Make sure you say that to the right person, okay? Alright. Amen. It is. I'm very happy to see you here today. I'm thankful for what the Lord is doing in your lives. I realize we get to be together, honestly. Let's just be real. Most of us get to be together the max 4 hours, a week. And how many hours are in a week? It's like 128, something like that. I don't know. But we get to spend just a few hours together, each week. And I'm thankful that God gives us that. And for us to come in, somebody told me like the local church is like the charging station for our spiritual batteries. I believe that. God, go out in the week, we're fighting the devil, the world, and the flesh, and we come into the local church around the brethren, worshiping God, singing to Him, hearing His Word, and it charges the spiritual battery. So thank you for making it a point to come and get your battery charged every week, and I hope you'll come all four times that you can, just so that you can keep your eternal focus and perspective on what God is doing. 1 Corinthians chapter 12, we were here just doing a little short series. We may finish it up today in the context of serving the Lord. And here specifically, we're looking at how God has blessed us with spiritual gifts, that is to God's people. Now, if you're here today and you're not a believer, you've yet to make that decision to be born again, you may have a talent, a God-given talent, whether you realize it's from God or not, but you do not yet have a supernatural spiritual gift. You only get that when you decide to receive Christ as your Savior. And then instantaneously, as you become a child of God, God gives you a supernatural gift, a powerful gift that allows you to fulfill your God-given purpose in this life. But there's a problem in Corinth. Just like a lot of us, they were carnal, they were selfish, they got distracted, and they totally lost their focus on what the purpose of spiritual gifts were for. And it caused a lot of problems. I mean, they were a messed up crowd. But it brings me comfort because they had a lot of good things going for them too. But the more I live the Christian life, the more I realize I am one messed up man. You say, wait a minute, I thought you were our pastor. Well, I am your pastor, but I realize I still got a lot of mess in my life. And if you're here today and you don't have any mess in your life, we ought to just stop and give you an applause right now. We ought to just all celebrate, because the truth is every one of us has some type of mess in our life. And God is helping us. God is growing us and teaching us. And one of the things that God's been showing me lately, church, and I'm just going to share my heart with you. I guess sometimes God uses the pastor, what God's doing in his life, to try to help overflow, because maybe you're dealing with it too. But one of the things I believe as Christians that we struggle with is something called self-awareness. Now, I don't say that in the idea of being proud, being aware of how good you are. But I believe that there is a lot of health in the fact of being self-aware. And what I mean by that is knowing where you are struggling. Knowing where you do have a weak point. Knowing where you do need some special attention. And I just want to encourage you today that if you are not self-aware and right now you just think you're good and you are just doing good without any struggle at all, listen, I want to tell you, you are not self-aware. Because you got something. I promise you, you got something. And you need some help. I don't say that to be mean and ugly. I say the same thing about me. And by the way, I believe with all my heart that one of the healthy signs of a church, and I've said this recently, it ought to be a place where people can come and hurt openly. And by the way, we don't need to hang out our dirty laundry to everybody in the world or everybody in the church, but I will say this, according to the New Testament Christianity, the local church is a place that you ought to have people that are mentors, spiritual encouragers. You ought to have what I call an inner circle, or we call an inner circle. In other words, there ought to be a few people in your life, especially in the local church, that you trust, that you know love you, that you are willing to go to them and tell them something you're struggling with. Because a lot of time in our world, a lot of time in our local churches, we think of this idea of just covering up and just giving a persona, just giving an image that everything's okay. And listen, we do this in church, don't we? We do. We'll greet each other. I'll shake your hand, you'll shake my hand, we'll look each other in the eye, and I'll say, how are you? And you'll say, good. And you'll say, how are you doing? I'll say, I'm doing good too. But you know, a lot of times we lie in church a lot. Because things aren't really good. And my point is right here, we ought to be a church that there are certain people in this church that whether you shake hands down in the hallway or right out here or right outside, or we shake hands, and we come up and you say, how are you doing? And you keep holding their hand and say, no, tell me how you're really doing. And be willing to say the same thing. Well, I'm just going to tell you something. I'm dealing with something. It's tough. And you talk to them. And the church in Corinth was not that way. They only wanted to focus on that which was spectacular. They just wanted a good show. They wanted a performance. They were so focused on what they could do well. And they had lost focus that the church is a place where hurting people come and all of us are struggling in some way where we can encourage each other. And the spiritual gift that God has given you is to specifically help in the health of the body of the local church. And if you're saved here, you got a gift. And God wants it to use it to encourage others. And vice versa. And what we need to focus on is that God's concern for His body is to be healthy and to be actively going out into a lost world to be effective and impactful for the cause of Christ. But when we come and we just kind of clam up, cover up, and simply try to just go through the motions, I'm afraid that hurts the health of the local church. So let me just give you this challenge this morning. Church, let's be real. Let's be real. I'm talking to marriages that are struggling. I'm talking to some men that are struggling with pornography. Maybe women too. I'm talking with some that are just worried to death about the future.
You have no, you are just worried sick. Some of you don't even have a, some of you maybe are struggling with not even having a goal of honoring Christ. I want to tell you, you're in the right place. Because not only are you struggling, but we're all struggling in some way. So what do we do, church? We are real and we say, God, I want to be in a church where we cannot be just so focused on ourselves in the sense of cover up or showing out in any way. But Lord, I want to be a part of the body where I am being strengthened by another member of the body. Because this finger right here on my hand needs this hand. This hand needs this arm. This arm needs this hand. All right? We could go through and name those areas of our life that we know we need another member to help us. And I just pray, even this morning, I pray that we'll be a church that everybody in this room has a group of people. Not just your spouse, that should be a part of, but a group of people. You college age, you teenagers. I hope that you are open and willing to just go to somebody and tell them what you're struggling with and get help. This church in Corinth was not worried and concerned about spirituality. They were focused on outward spectacular living from the outward. Can I say it like this? The Corinthians were more concerned about being spectacular than they were spiritual. They loved the outward show rather than the inward submission. And God wants you and me to be inwardly submitted so that we can be healthy Christians. Healthy growing. Spiritual power and gifts are to distinctively unify us. They're for the purpose of helping, healing. Oh, just connecting with each other so that we can effectively do what God's called us to do. Do you have a group of people? Do you have several brothers? Brothers, do you have a brother? Two brothers in this church that you can go to and talk to. Sister, listen, please. Do you have a sister that you can go to and share your struggle with? Please do that. You say, Pastor, do you have? I certainly do. I've got two or three in this church that I go to that I don't need to tell everybody in this church. And you don't need to tell me all yours. But we all ought to have somebody we talk to. It'll help us. Let's not follow in the steps of a carnal church that looks real good on the outside, but it's just all tore up on the inside. We go through our motions. One of the greatest advice that I received as a pastor, but I think it's even as a Christian. What is something that makes you effective as a leader? I don't think this is just for a leader. I think this is for all church members. Do you know what he said? He said one of the greatest things you can do as a church member, as a leader, is this. Two words. Be known. Be known. What do y'all think about that? You think that's good? I do. You know what he's saying? Like, look, let's be real. Again, we're not going out and trying to glorify our sin and our struggles, but the fact of the matter is, in the local church family, we are all connected. We are of the same body. And not only that, and this is where the church misses it, we are the body of Jesus Christ. Jesus is our head. And by the body of Jesus works together. We help each other. We're not against each other. This hand is not in competition with this hand. They work together. Amen. These feet, they're not in competition with each other. They work together. These eyes, they're not in competition. They are working together. And all the other parts of my body are working collectively together like God designed. And it's just the very fact that when one hurts, we all hurt. I'm telling you right now, Brother Frank, if you were to come up here and take a big old sledgehammer and bring it right down on my big toe, I want to tell you every cell in my body is going to feel that. To the top of my head. Now, I might get it more right there, but I'm telling you, every part of me is going to feel it. When one member struggles, as we see here in this passage, we all struggle. But when we all are being strengthened because of our spiritual vitality and health, because of being yielded to the Spirit of God, I tell you, revival takes place. And if there's something that God is teaching me about the church of Corinth that I do not want to be found in my life, because I'm just like them, they're just like us, we're all human and have the same tendency, it is this. That the sign of spiritual power is not found in numbers. It's not found in buildings. It's not found in spiritual gifts. No, it's not found in that. What I believe the test of spirituality in a local church is this. And never forget this. It is the Lordship of Jesus Christ. Is He the head or is He not? And they lost that. They thought it was in their gifts, whether it was healing. Really, one of the major ones was the gift of tongues that they abused. It wasn't of God. And it caused a lot of trouble. Notice with me in your Bibles, 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Verse 7, it says, "The manifestation of the Spirit is given to every man to profit with all." That he's talking about the spiritual gifts that are given. They're not to be self-edification. It is for the purpose of the body. It is for purpose for the member that you are connected to. And verse 8 says, "For to one is given the spirit of the word of wisdom, to another the word of knowledge by the same Spirit, to another faith by the same Spirit, to another gifts of healing by the same Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to another prophecy, to another discerning of spirits, to another divers kinds of tongues, to another the interpretation of tongues. But all these worketh that one and the selfsame Spirit, dividing to every man severally as He will." With God's help here, I just want to give a few more comments and want to preach a message to you entitled, "We Are Better Together." We are better together. There are just some things in life that are better together. Like shoes. Shoes are better together, aren't they? Our teeth. Your teeth. Your teeth are better together. If you can keep those two front ones together, that's better. Chopsticks are better together. Law and order are better together. And all you Southerners say amen right here. Sugar and tea are better together. Amen. Me and Jordan were talking about that earlier. I said, there's just something about sweet tea. And when you accidentally get unsweet tea, you feel like you have committed a sin. Now, you Yankees, I know. That's probably why y'all are healthier than us, too, be the truth be known. Some things are better together. And I want to tell you, a local church is better together. We're working together. We're being known together. You know me. I know you. It's real. It's genuine. It's authentic. We're not here about to show you off. You're not here to show me off. It's not about one person. It's about our head, our master, our Lord, our sovereign King. And we are His body. And we are fitly joined together by the Holy Spirit of God to accomplish a great task in Jackson County and Athens-Clarke County and to all the world. God's doing it. We're His body. Number one, we are blessed together. I just read these gifts to you. He listed here 9. There's also gifts listed in Romans chapter 12. And also we see later on in this chapter that he lists some other gifts. I want to tell you that these lists of gifts that Paul gives are not exhaustive. I believe there could have been others. that Paul did not mention. Let's not try to put a cap on the Holy Spirit. Let's try to say that God can only give what's here. But I will say this, God does give us clarity on the proper use of these gifts. The context of when these gifts were used. Now let me say this, my belief on the gifts is balanced. I believe that these gifts are still being used of the Lord in certain contexts. You say, what about the sign gifts, Pastor? Well, the sign gifts, such as speaking in tongues and the gift of healing, I believe those were revelatory gifts that God was using to bring authentication to the apostles, to authenticate their apostleship, because the Word of God was being written during this time, especially there in the beginning book of Acts. You even see them fade toward the end of Acts, the use of healing and tongues. And then in the epistles, you rarely hear of them, because I believe they were moving off the scene as far as this, the miraculous gifts that these apostles had. In other words, there could be a crippled and maimed person sitting there at the synagogue, and they could speak, and these people would be completely healed in front of everybody. Limbs and everything that was all curled up, it would be made alive and well right there in front of everybody. Absolutely miraculous. People that had been blind since birth, they could be laid hands on and they would receive their sight. I mean, it was absolutely amazing. And what God was doing as He was beginning the New Testament and the Word of God was being completed, and it was a sign to all around that what they were doing was of God. Now, when the Word of God was complete, the signs were not necessary to that degree. And I want to say a few things about these gifts. Number one, notice with me, the first one that is mentioned is the Spirit, the word of wisdom. There was so much wisdom given to these Christians, especially in this transition time of going from the Old Testament to the New Testament, these apostles and prophets that we're going to see, there was wisdom given to them to be able to rightly articulate the Word of God. And I believe that this gift is still in function to a certain degree, because God gives us all wisdom. Amen. He says, if any man lack wisdom, let him ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally. So there's a measure of that gift there, perhaps not to the degree, but we understand also the second one here. To another, the word of knowledge by the same Spirit. All these are done and given by the Holy Spirit. What is that? That is just a knowledge that doesn't puff up to make someone prideful, but that is a deep understanding of the mind and the Word of God and the things of God. And God gave a special measure of knowledge of to these believers for understanding. And there's a measure of that that's still available today. You and I have both heard Christians and been around believers that, man, they are just able to pull some nuggets out of the Word of God, not pridefully or arrogantly. And you're just thinking, man, that was a blessing. Their understanding and the handling of the Word of God and different ones, that is, it's a blessing. To another, it says faith by the same Spirit. And this is not talking about faith for salvation. And this is not talking about faith that even we walk, because we're all commanded to walk by faith and not by sight, right? So what's it talking about? Well, there were some believers there that honestly God had just given them a special measure of faith to accomplish His will. And you think about it, what they're going against, the church is just getting started. This is all strange to the rest of the world. Now, many of those Jews, and let me just say that for a minute. We do understand that the underlining foundation and purpose of sign gifts, by the way, that we're going to see here in a minute, was for what? The unbelieving Jew. Jews, they desired a sign. They wanted a sign. So God gave them some great signs. Some believed and some did not. Many did not. But nevertheless, we see that even in our day and age, you got some people that you just, like, I think of like George Mueller. You've read stories about him. I've been around believers in my day, even around this church and others, that people would just, man, they're just full of faith. And it just, it's a blessing to the church. You don't get anxious around them. There's some people, I'm telling you, let's just all admit this. When you get around doubters, you're going to doubt. When I get around victim mentality people, I start finding myself becoming a victim. But you get around people that are full of faith that God is God and He's able. He's able to help you and deliver you and lead you. He's going to protect you and strengthen you. God is able. I love that. And I believe He still does that in the church. Maybe not to a degree that we see here, but I'm telling you, it is there. But I will say this next one to another, the gifts of healing by the Spirit. And this goes back to my degrees. Now, back then, it was a different type of healing. These apostles could just speak a word and they would be healed. They could touch them. They could touch them or be touched. People that were sick would try to get to them and touch them and be healed. That was a sign gift. That's not for today. Now, let me say this before I move on. You say, Pastor, do you believe in God healing people? Absolutely. Do you believe in God healing people through answers to prayer? Absolutely. But it's not through my touch and it's not through my word. And it's not because if I do pray for you and you don't get healed, it's not because you didn't have enough faith. It's not because I didn't have enough faith. It could be very well that for the Word of God, God's got something other in mind for that whole situation to bring forth His glory. And we have to understand that this healing, listen, if that was the case, then we need to take every faith healer to St. Mary's Hospital and Piedmont Hospital today. But people that do that are declaring that they have the power to heal. And the attention is on them. The attention. But that is not the purpose. What are the purpose of the gifts? It is to show forth in the local body that Jesus Christ is Lord. He's our Lord. He's in charge. To another, the working of miracles. Again, is God doing miracles today? Absolutely. But not like He was here. Continuously. It was happening every day. In the book of Acts. I mean, anything from Ananias and Sapphira, you remember that miracle taking place? They dropped dead on the scene. Aren't you glad that's not happening normally today? It wouldn't even be anybody in this church. But that was some miraculous power of God teaching the local church, setting the foundation, and Peter knew exactly. He knew that they were lying. He had supernatural knowledge. He had supernatural wisdom that he could read their mind. I can't read your mind, and I'm so thankful for that. And I'm glad you can't read mine. We don't have that ability any longer, brethren. But the apostles did. But I tell you what we can do. We can pray for healing. We can pray for the working of miracles, because I want to tell you right now, though I don't believe that we have the same miraculous power that the apostles did to do miracles, I still believe God is doing miracles. And if God is still not working miracles, I just want to pack it up and go home. Because God Almighty is still God. He's the same yesterday, today, and forever. And I hope you are looking for God to do some miracles in your life. I hope there's some things that you're looking at right now in your life and saying, if God doesn't do a miracle here, there's no hope. But I believe God's people just gotten soft in that area. Well, I just don't see how God can do that. That's why we call them miracles. And I believe He's still doing them. He's still doing them in our lives. And we need to look for Him to do them continuously. Not only do we see that, the working of miracles, but another prophecy. I don't believe this is foretelling. I believe this is forthtelling. The truth of people being able to proclaim what is declared in Scripture here in the New Testament with these apostles. They are declaring what God has made clear. And this idea of prophecy, of foretelling, is still in function today to a certain degree for the pastor, for the teacher, for people that are giving forth the Word of God and speaking truth. To another, discerning of spirits. There was a degree there. Like, remember the Apostle Paul? It was amazing. The Apostle Paul was preaching the Word. And at that time, there was a lady there that was filled with demons, a little slave girl. And Paul, she was walking behind declaring, Jesus is the Son of God. She was declaring His deity. This little slave girl, she, from all practical purposes, this girl looked like she was on board. Declaring Jesus, the Son of God. Worship Him, the only true God, she would say. She was following Paul around as he was preaching. You know what he did? He turned around and rebuked her. He turned around and rebuked her. You say, what in the world? She was proclaiming truth. You know what? He had a supernatural discernment that this was not of God. That this was the demons trying to undermine God. Because if Paul would have accepted her right in, all those people would have been turned around and said, look at there. Oh, Christian, linking up with those demons. He saw right through it. Now, but I will say this, we may not have it to that degree, but we do have the spirit of discernment, the Holy Spirit. And folks, I think God's people are lacking in discernment these days. Discerning truth, truth and error, and just seeking to have the understanding of what is going on around us. And that's why I believe even Paul said, let us not be ignorant of Satan's devices. Let's not be ignorant. But then notice here, we got another to the discerning of spirits, but then another, divers kinds of tongues. Wow, what a lot of controversy around this subject. To another, the interpretation of tongues. Now I will say this, I have some charismatic brothers and sisters that I love dearly, but I believe they're wrong in this. And let me tell you why. Because number one, if you look at the context of tongues in this chapter, and the chapter to follow, or chapter 14, the tongues here is a truly learned tongue. It is a tongue that has been spoken before, but was unlearned by the individual. And so when we say here about different kinds of tongues, this is people that perhaps, as an example, would be speaking a language that they had never studied before. Now, I'm going to give you a small example, but it's just something that, for I want you to understand something. It'd be like me getting up here and speaking a language that if you all were French, okay, let's just say that. And I'd say, look, Dieu est mort pour mes péchés. You'd be like, do what? I just said, God died for my sins. I spoke a tongue that you did not understand, but as we're going to see even in the next one, there were times where you would understand a tongue that you had never learned. Now, this is not an intelligible a tongue. Why do I say that? It's because it is very clear in chapter 14 that the tongue was profitable for all. It was profitable for all. As long as you had an interpreter there, he could interpret that tongue there before the people. And it was a sign gift. And get this. There was a lot of chaos in the church of Corinth. And this is one of the things that settled it for me as a believer. The language that they were speaking, The sounds that they were uttering were practiced by pagans before they were saved. Just weird sounds. And
for them to get up and it would bring attention to themselves, but everybody else is thinking, what is going on? And charismatics teach today, oh, well, that person's just slain in the Spirit. They just got filled with the Spirit of God. I'm sorry. It's not what our Bible teaches. It's confusion. It's confusion. And we have to be discerning about that. Because, and now listen, some may say, well, Pastor, what do you think about a prayer language, speaking in tongues in a prayer language? Listen, I'm just going to say this as kindly and reverently as I can. What sounds you make in your prayer closet is between you and the Lord. I'm not going to sit here and say you speak in tongues, but if you there's a groaning in your heart and prayer to God, listen, that's different. But this context is not talking about your prayer language in the prayer closet, your just time with God. That's not the context. The context is a local church setting like this one. And it just brought forth confusion. And they weren't even doing it the way it was intended to be. And you say, well, what was it intended to be? It was intended to be able to go out and be able to, especially for the Jews, to see a sign of tongues and for the people to hear that in their own language, just like at Pentecost. And boy, that was miraculous. That was a sign gift that God was working. And it was for lost people to come to Christ. And what the charismatic churches are doing today is they're bringing it into the church, and it's not even a learned language. It's not even an unlearned language that they're speaking that is known somewhere in the world. It's not even that. It's just a bunch of mixed up sounds. And I know there are certain charismatic churches that when you come in, they start teaching you how to do it. They start teaching you how to hold your mouth open and to hold your chin in a certain way and how to utter this and that at different times. And boy, when you get slain in the Spirit, you'll start doing that. Well, I want to tell you, brethren, I believe that there's a lot of good things that I see in a charismatic brother and sister. Not all churches go to this extreme. I don't want to be generalized too much here, but I will say this. As God's people, we have to be discerning. Because what is the sign of being filled with the Spirit? We found it in first few verses. What is it? The Lordship of Jesus Christ. Let me say that again. What is the sign of being filled with the Spirit of God? Say it with me. The Lordship of Jesus Christ. Period. Period. It is unity in the church. It is clarity. It is openness. It is healing. It is working, us all working together collectively in the purpose and will of God. You see, this chapter teaches that we are blessed together. You say, well, how do I know my spiritual gift? Well, I told you last time, you pray and ask God to give you wisdom to understand what yours is. Look at them. There are tests you can take. I don't think those are always absolutely accurate. I think they can help and be a tool to kind of identify where your strong points are. But I will say this. God has given you something very special. And I hope you are determining that in your Christian life, you're going to use it for His glory. Brother Arthur preached a message, I believe it was last Sunday night, or maybe it was 2 weeks ago, but he preached on the talents. And one was given five, one was given two, and so on. Then one was given one. And so you have this parable that's teaching that, hey, what you've been given, you say, well, maybe I only have one gift. Hey, that's all right. Are you using it? Are you letting it multiply and be a blessing to the local church? Are you letting it be known in the sense of helping others and serving others and reaching? See, we are blessed together. We are built together. We belong together. And brethren, I want to tell you, we are bound together. We are bound together in Christ, the body of believers. You know what we're bound by? Notice with me, we'll come back to this, but notice with me the last verse of chapter 12. It says, after all these gifts that he talks about and all the members having a part, look what verse 31 says. But covet earnestly the best gifts, and yet show I unto you a more excellent way. So even of all the gifts that God gives,
And there's nothing wrong with letting God give you those gifts and use them. But He says, I will show you a more excellent way. And then He takes verse 13 that says the very thing that binds us together. And what is it, church? Love. That was the problem in Corinth. They loved themselves instead of loving one another and loving Jesus Christ as the Lord of their life. And I just want to say this morning as I close, and we think upon our being a healthy local church. I've heard all kinds of sayings. How do you determine? How do you measure a healthy church? Because it's easy for us to become judgmental. Well, it's when people show up for visitation. Well, it's when people show up for services. Well, it's the offerings, if the offerings are up. And well, it's you could go through a whole list of things. You could, couldn't you? We could. And we're quick to do that. But I think we would be wise to ask ourselves, how can you measure the health of a local church? I'm sorry for oversimplifying this, but I believe it goes back to this. Is Jesus Lord? Is He Lord of my life, of my family? And you say the same. And is He the one that is the head of this local church? Are we coming for Him and His glory? Are we serving Him for His glory? Are we understanding that we're a body and we cannot isolate ourselves, but we are connected in Christ? We are His body. And we're together and we're better together. We're bound together in love for each other. I hope today we'll all pray that God help us to abound in love one towards another, so that we can be a healthy, thriving local church. Not that we can build Him an empire. Not that we can be popular. But that we can just be healthy and be used of the Lord. So today I close with this. I heard an account the other day about someone, Brother Daniel. I don't know if you'll ever be in this position, but it was kind of weird, kind of freaked me out a little bit. I don't know if I could do this, but it was a nurse that was assisting a surgeon in a open heart surgery. And one day he gives the testimony, as I assisted this surgeon, he had me reach into the patient's chest and turn his heart so he could work on it from a better angle. He says, as I gingerly swiveled it, he asked, how does it feel to hold a man's beating heart in your hand? He says, in spite of our manipulations and talking about handling the heart, he said the man's heart kept thumping as billions of tiny heart cells communicated and coordinated their activities. And I got to thinking about that. The heartbeat of this church is made up of dozens and hundreds of members doing their part, coordinating and communicating. Open and real, sometimes raw, but finding healing by blessing each other with our spiritual gifts for the unity of our Savior's body and our Master, our head, so He can have a healthy body and do what He wants to do right here in this region and beyond. That's my cry and that's my prayer and that's my hope. And I believe with God's help and revival, it will take place. If you believe that, would you say amen? Don't look at yourself as a victim. Look at yourself as a victor in the body of Christ. You are a member and you are important. You are significant. And I pray that God Almighty will help us to just go to another level of just being open and real and letting the Lord use us and our gifts as He has blessed us.
As I close this message, I hope you will take it very seriously on about God, how can I be used of you in the body? Where it's not just me, myself, and I. I'm just going to do this for me. While the body of Christ suffers. Oh, don't do that, friend. Let's do our part. And may God get the glory. Let's pray. Father.